Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right. Welcome to Rogue Startups, episode 115. This is our 2017 year-end wrap-up. Craig, how the heck are you today?
I'm depressed in advance of what this episode is going to bring. Just looking at yourself in the mirror for an hour is always it's a great exercise for a lot of reasons, but it definitely brings to light some things that I've fallen short on. So I'm kind of like regretting it already. But I really love these episodes. I love hearing our friends do them as well. So, you know, Rob and Mike do them, Brian and Jordan do them. And it's really nice to hear kind of how other people think about their years. And it's nice to talk through our years, you and I. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, year-end episodes, I think it's a great chance to take stock of what, you know, what happened during the year. And I love going and looking back through the stuff that I put at the beginning of the year, having done this now for the last, I don't even remember when I started doing this, like 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. And I look back at the stuff and some of it I'm like, oh, fuck, there's just no way. I was totally so high thinking I could do that goal.
Yeah.
Or I just didn't have any tangible way to get there, or obviously I didn't think very hard about that or whatever. And then some of them are like, oh, look at that. I checked off a bunch of stuff on my list this year and I really kind of moved things forward. So, I mean, you get this sort of mixed euphoria depression when every time I go over my goal list, I'm like, man, I could have done more, but wow, look what I did do, you know? So yeah, I have a sort of a love-hate relationship with our year-end reviews, but I think it's super important to do this because if you don't know, you know, this is just like history, right? Those who don't learn history or failed are doomed to repeat it, right?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So in this case, if you don't understand where you came from and where you fell short, how are you going to fix that and make it better in the next year, you know?
Yeah, so. And I think – I mean, not to get back to our transparency conversation from a few weeks ago too much, but we are not ultra transparent on this podcast. So I think the things we talk about I think are representative of kind of our business and status – and kind of how we've performed. But if you are really honest with yourself and do this just kind of for yourself or in a mastermind group where you can be really transparent and open, then I think you start really telling the truth about how you did. And that's when it's really helpful. I think you and I sharing this is helpful because it probably sparks a lot of kind of internal conversation for ourselves. But I know I don't tell everything there is to tell on the podcast, and you don't either. But for us, it sparks some kind of internal thoughts, and for people listening, I hope it kind of launches some points of discussion and maybe some thoughts for the people listening of like, hey, yeah, you didn't do this, but you did that, and so that's kind of overall a win. So you kind of take them where you can get them. But yeah, I think it's super helpful, and overall, I really enjoy them. If nothing else, it helps me appreciate the things I do well, because I think in general we all are skeptical people, right? Like we're eternally optimistic, but we're also sort of skeptical. So like we remember our failures a lot more than we kind of celebrate our victories. So
I'm just outright cynical. You know,
but you have to be optimistic or you'd never do this, right?
Well, exactly. I'm cynically optimistic. There we go. That's what I am right there. Yeah. And, ooh, how French of you.
Oh, sorry. It is becoming a little second nature. It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, so I feel like the version that I have in the mastermind is often a little bit more brutal because, of course, you're just laying everything bare. And so the lows are much lower. But in some cases, the highs are a little bit higher because you can really celebrate the specifics of things here, which we can't really do on the podcast. It just doesn't sort of fit in with what we've decided we're going to talk about, and that's okay. But I still think we've got some good stuff here today. So do you want to go ahead and get started, or do you want me to start?
Yeah, no, I'll kick off with – so we'll review 2017 and things we did well and things we fell short on, and then we look ahead a little bit at 2018 and things we have planned. And I think the caveat with the looking ahead part is Well, and looking back a little bit, is some of the things that we had planned or we planned for in the future are end up being totally irrelevant like 12 months from now. So I think that's interesting to think about, is like how some of the goals that we have just don't matter anymore, both ways. But for me, you know, I think probably the thing, I'll start with a success because I want to celebrate my successes, is I think Podcast Motor performed really well in 2017. Our revenue is up. My involvement in the business is down. Our profit is up, which is something I haven't talked about a ton, but profitability in a productized service is something you have to work at a lot, because you can just throw kind of people at the problem. And we've done a lot of work. I've done a lot of work to systemize our business more, set clear expectations with our customers so that our business can function in a more routine way. And as a result, it's allowed me to take a step away from the business while it's grown and been more profitable. So I think in terms of lessons, that's been like the biggest kind of solid for me this year, is Podcast Motor has performed really well, and allowed me to focus my efforts in some other places. So I'll start off with a good foot.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what sort of stuff did you feel like you stumbled on in 2017?
Yeah. So, on a business side, the thing I stumbled the most on is, our content, our travel sites that we purchased, gosh, a year and a half ago, have really just been static. I mean, almost nothing has happened with them in terms of growth, in 2017. And that's a bummer, because it was like a fair investment and hoped that it would provide kind of substantial cash flow, and they cash flow fine and it's okay, but they haven't grown at all. And I think part of this is like the lesson that I take away from this is like, and Dave, you and I are having this conversation offline about something totally unrelated, but this sparks the concept of like, know where your customers are coming from and how you can grow the business. And I don't know how to grow our traffic and more ads and things like that. I'm starting to figure this out a little bit with a different business model, which I'll talk about in my goals for 2018. But just in terms of massive amounts of increase of page views and ad clicks and things like that, we failed big time in 2017. So that's a bummer.
Yeah. You didn't lose any ground on them though, did you? I mean, flat is okay.
Yeah. So stayed pretty flat. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's better than having everything tank because of a Google update. I remember having some updates a few years ago about something like that when I was dealing with some college financial aid sites, and oh God, it was right before Panda and Penguin came out, and man, the shit hit the fan. I was so anxious to get rid of them after that. So that's good news that you didn't have that.
Yeah. And I think that they're, I'll talk more about them in my goals for next year, but I think they're actually poised to have a little bit different business model going into next year. And that has some pretty solid potential, and then to offload them potentially next year sometime. So kind of a lesson, I guess, in 2017. The other thing I definitely fell short on is I had a goal of taking 2 weeks completely off work. And embarrassingly, I don't think I took 2 business days off work consecutively.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm comfortable with the kind of work-life balance that I have now, where I'm always working a little, but I never work a lot. Like, I don't work 30 hours a week almost ever. But I work almost every day, and so for me that's cool, and for the family that's cool, and when we travel that's cool. Like, I work in the morning, I work in the evening, I get my stuff done. But we can go do a bunch of stuff. I can go skiing. I can go out on the lake with the kids during the week in the summer, and like all that's great. But I'm not able to completely step away. So part of that goes to like the autonomy of the business I'm really falling short on. But I've also been working a lot to grow Serious Assemble podcasting. So that's like a little talking about like the things that you didn't anticipate a year ago. I didn't anticipate that we were going to be, you know, relaunching a whole new podcasting platform in a couple days and putting all this time into product development and stuff like that. So it's definitely somewhere I fell short, but I don't feel terrible about it because overall my work-life balance, I feel like, is really healthy. So maybe it's not a great goal to have, but I definitely didn't kind of accomplish it.
I think it's okay to rethink a goal mid-year if you're like, you know, this goal just doesn't make any sense anymore. And like you said, you have a healthy work-life balance at this point where it's integrated into your lifestyle and your family, and you can still have all the quality time you want, not kill yourself, but, you know, you're not completely hands-off. I think that's a fine middle ground. You know, I would like to get to that middle ground. I think it's unrealistic to say you're going to go from 40 hours a week to completely hands off, you know, unless mm-hmm. you're Tim Ferriss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tim Ferriss seems to be able to do just about anything he sets his mind to, but, you know, he's not married. He doesn't have kids. He, you know, wasn't working a regular job at the time. So when he does things, he can sort of go all in on it, and he doesn't really have to get any buy-in from anybody else. To yeah. make it all happen, he can just go for it. You know, maybe he's got a girlfriend or something, and they are the only ones that need to worry about it. But I feel like it's a little harder when you've got a lot of other forces pulling on you. And I don't want to say that this is totally impossible, and maybe you and I are just slackers. But, you know, making tangible steps in the right direction is still a positive thing in my book.
Yep.
So.
Yep. 100%. Yeah, and then I guess I'll kind of wrap up with things that went pretty well is getting into SaaS with Seriously Simple Podcasting and Seriously Simple Hosting, soon to be Castos, I think has gone well. I don't have a whole lot of critiques on that for my first kind of foray into SaaS. I think it's gone well. When we launch Castos in 3 days, I plan to really start hammering the marketing drum a lot, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And then from a personal perspective, kind of getting integrated into the French culture and learning the language and things like that, I have to say I give myself like a solid B, I guess, if we're giving grades.
You don't bleed Bordeaux yet?
No, yeah, I mean, we definitely get around. I'm relatively fluent. I'm not a native speaker, and I won't ever be, but I'm happy with where I am, especially considering the amount of kind of effort I've put into it. I haven't studied a whole lot, but just living here, I've picked up a ton. So pretty happy with that. So yeah, and overall, not bad. I definitely have some places I came up short, some things I'm proud of and happy to have achieved, but yeah, overall a pretty solid year.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, so I broke my goals down into three different areas here. The main one being recapture. So that was my main focus for the majority of the year. And I had a long list of things. I even had them broken down by quarter because I'm anal retentive and I was trying to figure out what made sense for what time frame. What I ended up finding was some of the things I put too late and some of them I put too early. Some of them I should have not even had on here at all. Some of them I just didn't even get to. But of the stuff that I did, you know, just sort of visually looking at my list, I'm going to say I probably got like 60 to 70% of it done. So I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that means I made some serious progress on things in the business that I thought were important as of the end of last year. So that's good. I feel good about that. For the specifics of things that I did get done, you know, we had, a feature that was for Review Boost, and that got finished up here in August and released. The features that did exist, I sent some stuff out to notify people to get them to upgrade. I worked a lot on churn, trying to figure out why customers left. If there was something that I could fix, I tried to do it. I did a complete review of the onboarding process. I completely revamped that and put it all into Drip. It's tag driven now, and it bugs the shit out of people at certain steps, because if they can't get past those steps, they're just never going to get any value out of the platform. So I think that is a vast improvement over where it was. I added an autoresponder on the site, thinking that that might help increase conversions, to talk about things like here's your best practices in abandoned carts. So I learned a little something about that. It wasn't the panacea I had hoped it would be, but I got it done relatively quickly and inexpensively, so I got to learn something without spending a ton of money on that. That was good. I tried a cold email campaign to improve sales, which turned out to be a bust. which is unfortunate. But again, that was something that was well worth learning about and understanding. At least where I'm at right now, cold email didn't seem to work. We engaged Audience Ops to create a bunch of content for the site. So I think they've put up like 7 or 8 articles, and I had targeted about 6 by the end of the year. So we blew past that. That's great. The content is now out there and being indexed by Google, and the keywords are sitting in there. So I'm starting to see some organic search traffic, and that's nice. I hired a developer to finish things up that I didn't have before. And that, of course, took longer than I expected. But once I did, then all of a sudden we were able to fix up a bunch of things that I had pending. Plus, we are working on creating a Shopify app, which is like 80% done at this point. And I don't mean like 80% in the usual way where we've done the first 80%. Now we've got the second 80%. I mean, this is genuinely 80% done. So my developer is off in Kiev right now dealing with another client, and he'll be back in mid-December. So we'll finish some stuff up and continue testing. But things are looking on track for an early 2018 Shopify app release, which is awesome. I needed a new customer acquisition channel, and this gets me on. You know, this is my table stakes right here. I can now sit down at that poker table and play, which is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't get to, or that didn't end up making as much sense. Like, I wanted to go to the big Magento conference, Magento Imagine. And that would have happened in April, which was very early on in Recapture, and I didn't end up going to that. And I'm actually kind of glad I didn't. At the time, I was really bummed. I thought, man, I'm really missing out. This wasn't a good decision. But here I am 6 months after that, and I'm thinking that that was fantastic. A, because it would have been really expensive to go there. Like, it's not a cheap ticket. Think like almost 2.5 times what MicroConf costs.
Wow.
Plus your hotel and all that other stuff. Yeah, the tickets. I mean, I didn't get an early bird ticket. Like, the early bird tickets for Magento Imagine are like $1,100, $1,200. So not cheap.
Wow.
And then by the time I knew about it, the tickets were already like $1,600. And then by the time the conference itself rolls around, they're $2,000.
Mm.
Yeah. Ouch. So I was like, I just couldn't make spending $2,000 makes sense where I was at the app at that time. And now that I didn't do that, I feel much better because I took that $2,000 and I was able to do things like cold email testing and save up to get a developer when I finally got Mike hired in August. So that made a huge difference, just having some extra money in the bank. So I'm glad I didn't end up doing that. There were some other things that I had on the list of like reviewing expenses and converting to annual plans, add support for annual plans and Recapture itself and revisit pricing. And I thought a lot about those, but I'm glad I didn't make any snap decisions on things like how to raise the prices, because it really sort of took me 6 to 9 months to really wrap my head around what was the usage pattern and what the competition was doing and what people liked about us or didn't like about the competition to try to push something out there that made more sense. And I still think that revising the pricing is on the table, but I've got a much better understanding of it at this point. So I feel like the decision would be better. I had a decision on here to say, do this by Q2. So it would have been like June or something. And that would have been a really dumb time to do it, I think. And there are some other things that I was disappointed I didn't get to, like, I didn't do paid advertising. I didn't get to that. I didn't, double the MRR like I had hoped I would. I didn't do, Magento agency contacts to try to get them to get their customers to sign up for Recapture. I didn't have the right relationships to do that. And then when I would try to get involved in communities, you know, when you're the newbie there, walking up to somebody and saying, hey, do you want to promote my plugin? You know, they're like, fuck you.
Right,
who are you?
Right.
I don't know you from anybody else here. And why would I trust you? And why would I promote your product? Like, that's an organic relationship that takes time to develop. So I got to play more of a long game on that. And I'm just now developing relationships in e-commerce. So I'm getting there, but, you know, again, this is a slow process. But overall, I would say that recapture for 2017 was a net win for me.
Yeah.
And where I've ended up at the end of 2017 now has poised me for a bunch of really great things, I think, in 2018. Because now, for example, with the Shopify app, I am open to so many other things. So now if I go to somebody and say, I'd like to integrate with you, they're like, well, what platforms are you on? I can say Magento and Shopify. Like, there's the two biggest ones right there. And so now I have access to that many more of their customers that would possibly be interested in using something. So I look better to them. They look better to me. There's a better chance that that relationship is going to be fruitful for everybody instead of just me going up and saying, hey, I have a Magento app. And then they're like, well, great. But, you know, only 20% of our customers are on Magento. What else you got?
Yeah.
You know, so now I think I've made some good strides in that direction so that I can go and start creating relationships. Because I started having conversations with people about that. I contacted a couple of people over the year, two or three, and it felt like that was the thing that they were kind of curious to know, and I didn't really have a good answer for at the time. But now I've got a good answer, having learned that from a couple of them. So that was good.
Yeah, yeah. Do you look at integrations once you get the Shopify app done, integrations being the main way that you'll grow, and partnerships?
I know that others in the space have had some tremendous success in growing their business through integrations. So that's one of my big goals, is to try to hammer that in 2017, because I think that's really where I'm going to get some real leverage there. So yeah.
I mean, even as big as Shopify is, there's a ton of kind of fragmented players in the space to where you need to partner with a checkout tool and a advertising platform. And I don't even know what other pieces are, but I mean, you solve a very specific problem, and that's great. But I think that there's a bunch of other people that can be complementary to what you do, even within Shopify, which is a pretty complete solution already.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is interesting is that I keep hearing this over and over again on other Shopify podcasts and on the forums. People are very concerned about Shopify store performance, and so they're like, don't install an app unless you absolutely need the damn app. But if you're an app that complements an existing app that they have and adds functionality of maybe two or more apps, you become more credible and you become more interesting to people because you're basically helping them reduce the number of apps, but at the same time getting shit done in their store.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to try to figure out, is what is the key combination of things that people would love to add to their store, but right now they're doing like two or three apps to do that. And how can I be the one that does all of those things together so that they don't have to have more than one or two apps installed to get that stuff with me. So yeah, that's one of my strategies for 2018 here.
Yeah.
There were a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about for the plugins and personal. So the plugins, my main goal was to hire and train a support person. So check, thumbs up on that one.
Bobby.
100%. I get my gold star. Yeah. Bobby. Yep. Bobby has been great, and she has been really taking that load off of me for the most part. We had a big release with Business Directory 5.0, and that was, you know, a total drinking from the fire hose moment, and she did awesome. We went through a ton of like 3 weeks of some really brutal triage of getting stuff fixed, and she held up and kept a smiling face on the whole time, and customers love her. So I'm like, big thumbs up, 100% gold star on that task right there. Definitely kicked ass. Released Business Directory. We were supposed to release a major one of AWPCP. It was contingent on BD. So now that we have BD out the door, I'm still trying to push for this one. Might get it out by the end of the year. I'm kind of thinking it's probably going to be January at this point, but that's still better than where I was last year. So I'm
4 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
4 o'clock New Year's Eve. It's going to be like 4 o'clock on New Year's Eve when I'm pushing this shit. Geez. And another goal was to maintain revenue for this year. I had a panic moment in September and October when sales plummeted. And it's recovered now that we've gotten BD5.0 out the door. I don't know what the net effect is. We're going to be close to maintaining revenue, but there might be a slight decline on that. So I'm not going to say it was a total win, but it wasn't a total loss either. Mm-hmm. And then we had something that sort of slapped me in the face recently here. My two developers on the plugins have both announced their intentions to leave, one of them in a couple of weeks and one of them in a couple of months. So the good news is I got that notice and I was able to start working with it. The second good news is they actually gave me a referral to somebody that they knew and were already working with on other WordPress plugins on their own. So he's kind of coming, I won't say pre-trained, but let's say well-screened.
Sure.
Yeah, so he's at least looking like a replacement. So I'm not left high and dry. The guys were very good about that, so I appreciate that. But now I have to think about, you know, how am I transitioning the old guys out and how am I getting the new ones in and what are my priorities for the plugins now? Do I need two developers to do that? Can I do it with just one? What, you know, and maybe bring on somebody for short-term projects. So like somebody who comes in and does a UX revamp on the plugins for a couple of months and then they're done, mm-hmm. You know, something like that. So I thought I was going to have some tough conversations about what I was going to do with these guys to figure out what my longer term goals were, but then they came to me and said, well, you know, we've been working on this for years and years. I think we're ready to do something different. And I'm like, I totally respect that. Yeah. Wow. You know,
no, that's great.
Thank you for telling me in advance. And, you know, smart people never sit still for a long period of time. So the fact that I had these guys for this long was a huge blessing, but now I have to figure out what to do. And, you know, that kind of accelerated the plans, but that's okay. It was something that was sort of on my back burner. Now it's on my front burner.
Yeah. Yeah. Do your plans for 2018 and the developers kind of pertain to your long-term plans for the plugins themselves?
The jury's still out on that one yet.
Yep.
I'm going to hire with a mind to improve the plugins, but what that looks like right now, I'm not 100% sure. And I'm not convinced that sticking with the old model was the way to go.
Because in terms of having two guys?
Well, in terms of having two guys full time and the way I'd split them up in their work. So I think I need to rethink that. I think I need to have specific projects to say, we're working on this. Here's the date. Let's go. Because I kept it more open ended to say, here's what we're going to work on. Tell me when it can be done. And I just kept throwing more stuff in there as opposed to let's get it out. So we had it basically an entire year of when's this going to be done? Oh, well, we need to add this. When's that going to be done? Oh, well, we need to add this. You know, my bad. I contributed heavily to that. But I also feel like the model that we had didn't make it clear to get things done with more velocity. So I need to revisit that.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah. And then the last thing I had was doing more exercise. So trying to get in at least 3 times a week, which I didn't really add as a goal until May when my wife said, oh, by the way, we're doing a 60-day challenge at our gym and you're participating. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I guess I'm participating. Yes. Yes, ma'am. And you know, I was reluctant at first, but the reality was after a while I started feeling really great and I had a better summer because of it. And, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago, I was keeping up with it, you know, 4 to 5 times a week at least, even when I was traveling. So when my wife was out of town, that kind of derailed things because it was just longer, crazier days. And then eventually I fell off the wagon. But I held on to it for, you know, a good 6 months there, which I'm impressed with, close to 5 days a week. So, you know, getting back on the train and doing at least 3 for the rest of the year, I don't think is out of the question. And I need to, you know, stay in reasonable shape for Big Snow Tiny Conf next year anyway. So that felt like a good goal, and I felt pretty good about that when all is said and done. And then just spending more quality time with my family, I think that has improved. It's not really measurable in a way that I can express here, but I can feel like I've had more quality time with my daughters and more one-on-one time and going out with them, like taking them out for frozen yogurt or going to see movies with them or take them out to dinner. You know, less about being the chore duty guy and more about connecting with them and my wife, I think that's all gone much better this year. So,
yeah. That's great. I mean, the last two are super important. I think we all can lose sight of those type of goals, definitely myself included. And I think that's great to be cognizant of kind of how you performed in those spheres last year. And I know looking forward, you probably have some goals for that too. So that's yeah. It's good to hear it's important for us all, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So shall we look ahead a little and see how big and hairy and ambitious we're going to be in 2018?
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me find my rose-colored glasses for a second here. Where are they? Yeah, okay. Yes, okay, my rose-colored glasses are on, and I'm ready to give you my wildly optimistic, possibly somewhat unrealistic 2018 outlook.
Sweet. Yeah, you want to start then?
Sure. So, you know, I've got a fairly sizable list here. I haven't broken it down by quarter yet. But here it is in no particular order. So one thing I want to do is I want to contact some Shopify agencies to get them involved with just understanding what my app does, seeing the ROI of it, like making some personal contacts and some connections there, because agencies are a great way to pick up new customers. Every time they're building a new site, they're like, oh, you need an abandoned cart solution. Well, guess what? We've been working with these guys from Recapture. We really think their solution is good. We highly recommend it. So in order to get there, you've got to have some kind of a relationship with them. So by attending Shopify Unite, which I'm going to do next April, May, that's another one of my goals, is I'm going to try to connect with some agency owners when I'm there, or even just freelance developers or stores, and try to set some of those relationships up. So my goal is to get 5 of them by the end of the year. We'll see how well that goes. I would like to also add 4 separate integrations to Recapture so I can get more customers. And that allows me to cross-promote with other applications and other customer bases. So I think those 2 things right there allow me a better customer acquisition channel than I currently have. And just deploying to the Shopify store is going to be okay. But there's a lot of apps in there about abandoned carts. So getting above that noise, I think, is going to be hard. That's why I have to do specific things with agencies and integrations to get there.
Hey, Dave, do you have any plans around influencer marketing or trying to really connect with some influencers in the e-commerce space, particular to Shopify, to say like, you know, what would it take to get you on our platform? And even if you have to kind of like take a bath on those customers, just because they're going to drive so much market share for you in the future. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I don't. I mean, I do know some Shopify influencers on there, and you know, we even have had one on our podcast here, Kurt Elster.
Yeah.
So, you know, part of what I want to do is, again, build a relationship with them so that there's some comfort and some trust. And then from that, I'd like to extend that into I'd really like you to look at my solution here, as opposed to just going up and trying to, you know, get an influencer's time and energy when they don't really know you. Mm-hmm. But I guess you could say that's sort of like a subtle goal, is to connect more with, you know, influencers and e-commerce in general. But again, it's not something that happens overnight. And the things that they're recommending are solutions that they've had experience with over time. So when I start with 5 Shopify agencies, if I can say I've got these 5 Shopify agencies that they may happen to know, I can go to an influencer and say, look, these 5 agencies are using my solution right now, and they recommend this as their primary solution to any of their new stores. I'd really appreciate it if you'd give this a serious look. You know, you need some social proof to go to an influencer and say, my app is worth a shit. Would you please pay attention to it? So, I have to build that somehow, and you can't go to the top on your very first one. You know, maybe I can. Maybe there's a way to do it. I don't know what that looks like offhand. Maybe I'll discover it in the next 12 months. If I do, that's awesome. But if I don't, at least I've got this path that I'm looking at right now. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Obviously, if I'm doing all this stuff around Shopify, I have to deploy the app to the Shopify App Store. I'm hoping to do that early 18. Create more blog content around Shopify and just e-commerce topics in general to kind of keep that list warm. It seems to be working pretty well so far. I want to experiment with more paid advertising here. So I want to try some Twitter ads for awareness, Facebook apps for remarketing. There's a new thing that I just saw recently on Neil Patel's blog about LinkedIn matched audiences, which ought to sound a little familiar to you if you've done any sort of Facebook. And apparently it's somewhat similar, but it's one of those undersaturated places. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I want to try it out. And then I've had another suggestion in our mastermind about using Reddit ads on e-commerce, which I found kind of surprising, but I haven't had a chance to try that yet. So I want to experiment with all of those various things. I've been told by others that paid advertising in our space doesn't work. And while I appreciate the sentiment that I'm getting expressed, I'd like to test it myself and see if maybe they just didn't do a very good job at it. Maybe they didn't try it. You know, maybe it's changed. Maybe it's a question of the tone or the content that you're using. I don't know. I want a little more experience with it before I just totally say, this sucks. It's not going to work. I want to run another customer survey again. I'm probably going to end up doing it this December because I'm trying to find some key features for the user base here. Now that I've got the review booster out there, I'm sort of uncertain where to head with additional features that my customers are clamoring for right now. And I've got some ideas. I'm going to kind of float both the ideas and an open-ended, what do you guys think, sort of survey there. See what the reaction to all of that is, and I'll throw out some incentives to make sure that they fill it out. I'm going to once again throw out my doubling recaptures MRR, and I'm hoping that that's a low target. Once I put in all these other things in here and I start getting customers, we'll see on that one. Another thing that I'd like to do for customer acquisition is actually start an e-commerce podcast.
Whoa, there you go.
Whoa, yeah. Mind blown, right? So the question is, who would be a good co-host? And I've got somebody in mind and we've had some preliminary conversations. Second question is, what direction does the podcast take? Is it more of a general e-commerce marketing sales kind of thing? Is it more of a developer-oriented one? That's to be decided. I haven't gotten quite there yet. I already have the podcast hosting company lined up, though, and I think he's really fucking awesome.
Stay tuned
on that one. And then there's a couple of other things that I want to do. Adding support for freemium plans in Recapture, so as a way to increase growth. I've looked kind of seriously at this in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of what kind of support load we get from it, and what just makes sense in terms of like keeping people around and what has stopped some stores from signing up for the plan. And having a freemium plan seems like a way that I could keep them around and try to get them to upgrade over time after they've had a few months of growth, as opposed to, you know, just missing out on an opportunity when they're not quite ready for it yet. So I've got to add some support to that. I don't know what effect that will have or how I'm going to promote that just yet. Maybe it'll be at the same time as Shopify. I don't know. Thinking about that anyway. And then just some more personal stuff about continuing the exercise and then continuing some, you know, general development on the plugins to improve the UI and the UX, but they're definitely not my focus. It's more Recapture for sure. So,
hey, Dave, I had a question about the customer survey you're looking to run. And you mentioned that you're going to have some suggestions or thoughts that you're going to float to people. Are those like feature suggestions and kind of the direction of the tool in the future, or what are you kind of going to be floating to your customers, and how's that going to be structured?
Well, that's a good question. So the last time I did this, I did a quick Google Docs survey and that worked okay. I may try something a little more sophisticated with SurveyMonkey this time. I don't know, but basically I was going to try a list of things, and it would be like, all right, here's a list of 10 things that I'm thinking of. And then there's the option that'll be like other, and then you fill in the blank.
Okay.
And I'll say pick three And if they don't like any of the ones I've got listed, then, you know, I'm going to let them pick other and then write in what they think is important. So I'm trying to do sort of a dual thing here. One is to find out, here's a bunch of stuff I do know about that I know that other platforms support, that I know other people are getting good benefit from. Would you be interested in this particular feature? And what are the things that you're thinking about that I didn't even list here that you would like to see on here? So that's – and maybe that's not even the best way to put it. I haven't, you know, put a ton of thought into it just yet, but I mean I've been kicking this around now for a few weeks. And I want to get some sort of feedback. And there's going to be like some net promoter stuff in there. Like, how do you feel about recapture on a scale of 1 to 10?
Sure.
What's the thing that keeps you from rating us a 10? And, you know, what's the one thing you feel like we could be doing and we're not? And that sort of stuff. Because I did that before and I actually got some good feedback. But that was like over 6 months ago. And, you know, customers change. The platform has now changed. I'm in a better place to provide stuff to them more quickly. So now I'd like to know, where are they at? What's important to them right now? What are they looking at? Because some things that I'm thinking of feature-wise might not be the directions that they want me to go at all. And some of the things that I'm thinking of that are like, maybe this is important, are like top of their list,
yeah.
You know, but I can't tell.
Yeah.
And getting right now, just trying to get people to talk about stuff. Occasionally I get, you know, customer support interactions where I can ask them about things, and that's great. But I don't get that with like all of my customers, and I really want something more broad than I have now. So that's what I'm going to do.
So I ran a survey earlier this year in some kind of side project, totally unrelated, but I got some feedback from Heaton Shaw on it. And he said he very much suggests against incentives for people to complete a survey, whether they're customers or not. He said it biases kind of their participation and the weight that it provides to the survey so much that it's really kind of detrimental. So just something to keep in mind that I've given, like, you know, one entry will get a $50 Amazon gift card or something like that. And he said, yeah, just don't do that. You'll get less responses, but they'll be more genuine. So yeah, just kind of food for thought for you and everyone else who's going to be surveying customers this coming year.
Well, there's a man who spends a lot of time talking to customers. So if he says that and has some, there's some experience behind that for sure. Yeah. I mean, I've done it. I've had some incentivized surveys with Business Directory plugin. The last one I ran for recapture, I didn't have an incentive on it. So I'm pretty sure that the stuff I got was genuine. The only reason I wanted to do an incentive was to try to get more participation just because I have a statistically small number of customers. So, you know, I want to make sure that I get a lot of input, but if he's saying that that biases the input to the point where it's not as valuable, you know, I don't want less valuable input. I just want more input. So I don't know. Maybe I'll just have to bug him more trying to make him fill it out.
Yeah. No, I was shocked. I was surprised to hear that. Not totally irrational, but I would think that the volume of input you get is more than makes up for kind of the bias that some of those people have, but that wasn't his experience. So just my two cents.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, what about your 2018 goals?
Yeah. So I guess the most pressing thing, that's kind of top of mind right now. Well, the thing that's top of mind right now is we're launching Castos literally in like 4 days, and it's been a huge learning experience for me to put so many things together. I mean, the list of shit that's going to happen on Monday is like 2 pages long. And so it's really crazy. I mean, you got a plugin and an integration and domains and knowledge base. And
so it's going to be smooth like silk is what
you're
saying.
No, it's going to be a disaster, right? But we should really kind of tear down the experience that I have after I've properly medicated and recovered from the experience, because not a lot of people in our world kind of go through a rebranding. And so I hope that we can go through and I can kind of share some things that may be helpful for people. But it's not a 2018 goal, but it's definitely kind of in the future from here, is that the the rebranding to Castos for our podcast hosting platform goes well, and we start growing our non-WordPress-based users some. I mean, WordPress is all of our customers right now, but we are getting some people saying, hey, I hear your hosting platform is great. Can I use it without WordPress? And so I hope we start getting some of those people into the business. And I have some larger goals for the revenue of Castos. I don't know, it doesn't really make sense to mention what those are, but I hope it grows several times what it is now. And I think it can, because we're opening up our market quite a bit. I think if you look at the podcast hosting market, the people who are on WordPress is substantial, but the people who want to host their podcast on WordPress is probably quite a bit smaller. So having this platform agnostic podcast hosting service should open us up to go head to head with people like SoundCloud and Libsyn and Blueberry and Simplecast and all the 8,000 other platforms out there. And I think we have some really strong reasons for people to move over. So I have some pretty lofty goals there. It's about 4 times what our current revenue is. So that's cool. And I think we have a pretty solid chance of reaching that. So that's a big stretch goal. But it all kind of hinges on how well or not well things go on Monday. So stay tuned, I guess, there.
Well, I don't know that it all hinges 100% on that one day. If you fuck it up, you're done. But
No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, definitely you need to start there and then hone it from there. But I'm sure that we will be hearing lots of great updates on that shortly.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, it'll be a lot less dependent on how it goes Monday, because it's just a web app, and if things are broken, we can fix them and deploy it in 10 minutes, and it's not like WordPress, where if you deploy a broken plugin, you have to deploy another one, and people have to upgrade it and fix their broken websites and stuff. So yeah, I think I put a lot more weight on Monday than probably is warranted, but we've been working towards it for a long time, so kind of have some emotional value tied up in it. But after that, I think the other thing that's kind of top of mind is we, as part of the visa that we have to live in France here for the next few years, we are starting a French business. And I have some thoughts around what that's going to look like. And I need to kind of settle on a topic and a place that we're going to go and start really working towards building a business around it. We have some timelines and kind of goals we need to meet. And so I need to start really working on that and kind of get a plan set and settle on something that we're going to do for the next few years there. That's very much up in the air, but I have to do it. And it definitely has to get done next year and really in the first quarter. So that's very kind of top of mind, that it needs to happen. And I personally am kind of excited about starting something else, because it kind of goes into my next point, is to continue to put Podcast Motor in a place where it's sustainable and growing, and where I can be continually hands-off in the day-to-day business. I really like doing sales calls and chatting with the team on kind of irregular intervals, kind of whenever we can and whenever we want to, but not have the business be dependent on me is really kind of the overarching goal. So have it grow and me not being directly involved as it grows is kind of the big goal of Podcast Motor, because I am going to have to spend some time and money and effort and mental space on our French business as we get in solidly into next year. Much like yourself, Dave, I have a goal of exercising more. I'm very, very strongly looking at joining a CrossFit gym. I've done a little bit of CrossFit in the past, and it definitely is a great kind of bang for your buck in terms of the time invested for the amount of effort you put in. So I'm kind of big into that these days, of kind of getting the most out of my time and effort. So I probably am going to give CrossFit a very solid try, meaning a couple of months, assuming I don't get injured. Because that's the biggest reason yeah. People fail CrossFit is they get hurt. But I'm very excited about it, to be honest.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I do have this goal to take sometime, I say 2 weeks, but probably like a week, completely off work, no phone, and no computer. We're going to be in the U.S. for about a month next summer, and I would like to just not work one of those months, or one of those weeks. And that's mentally tough, logistically tough, but I think at this point, I mean, it'll be almost 4 years into being involved in my businesses, at least for Podcast Motor, I should be able to just walk away for a week and the world not end. Like, I'm sure it won't be as good as if I was here, but if I can't walk away for a week at this point, then I've missed the boat kind of substantially and kind of my business acumen. So I kind of look at that as like, if I can't do that, that's a real kind of black eye for myself as a business owner and the processes and procedures and expectations that I've put in place for the business and our team. And so I think that one kind of like weighs on me generally is like, am I building a job or building a business? And if I can't pull this off, then I've built a job. If I can pull it off, then I've built a business, and that's great. So to be determined how that goes, obviously, but I think a lot of the things that I'm doing are working towards that being easy. You know, like that's kind of the result of a lot of my other goals. So I think all of these things are kind of congruent and working towards like a sustainable growing business and work-life balance in 2018. So yeah, I'm looking forward to 2018. I think I've done a lot of hard work this year. I'm sure I'll do a lot more hard work next year in starting or buying and growing our French business. But yeah, we've definitely earned our stripes this year with Seriously Simple Podcasting and getting into SaaS. And I feel like at this point, that's early, but pretty solid and looking at kind of entering the growth phase. And I guess doing it a little bit again, maybe a little bit smarter this time as being kind of my second time around, will be an interesting thing to see when we do our 2018 review next year.
Indeed. Indeed. And in the words of Dave Letterman, we're mostly lost, but we're making great time.
That's definitely what it feels like. Yeah.
Sometimes it does. I think for the most part, we're not quite as lost as that quote would indicate. But I would love to hear what all of you are doing in the audience out there for your 2018 goals. If you have some stuff that you want to share, or if you would like to come on the show and talk about what you did in 2017, we'd love to hear from you. Email us podcast@roguestartups.com. And if you've got a moment, leave us a review in iTunes and let us know what you think. Here's hoping that you have a fantastic 2018 and that the rest of your 2017 ends up as healthy and happy as it can be.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.